It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
What is up? It's finally Friday here on Overtime Broadcasting, live from the climate-controlled, comfortable studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Tanner Carson, your host today, on time.
Good for you,
today,
Tanner.
Surprise.
Was able to get a little side gig job training done a little early today.
Good.
Came here, joined by the people who have been holding it down for the first segment the past couple of days, doing a great job at that. Daniel Brackman to my left, run the board today. Cole McCormick, gentlemen, how are we on this Friday?
Man, doing good. Well. Doing good. Happy it's Friday.
It's Polo Friday, I see, Tanner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, I didn't even notice that. Me and Brackman both wearing
Polo gang.
Man.
We're all wearing pocket tees.
Yeah.
I noticed that. Wow. Rockets. We are so southern and millennial.
Look at us.
Oh, well, it's good to be here. Good that it's Friday. This week has flown by.
It really has.
I'm not going to lie. It's flown by. Maybe it's because I've been having to be forced to sit in front of a computer for the last few days doing different train scenarios on these big group chats. And that's made the time go by quick. But we've had good shows this week. And as they say, time does fly by when you are having fun.
That's true. That is what they say.
And we love to have some fun on this show for sure. Got a fun show tonight, by the way. A lot of good stuff. SEC Media Days officially wrapped up today with the media casting their ballots, casting the votes for the order of the SEC divisional finishes, picking their SEC champions, also giving out some names for their all-SEC preseason teams. Got a lot to cover when it comes to that, but let's go ahead and get down to the big order of business here. Where was Tennessee predicted to finish? Now, I want to go ahead, and we posed a question yesterday on the Knoxville Stone Interiors poll question last night. I think there is still time to vote on that, but, I mean, you're kind of cheating if you vote on it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You're a little cheater because it's already over. Asked last night, when the votes are officially announced, where do you think Tennessee was going to be predicted to finish in the East last year? And the options were, once I get to the poll, scroll down this timeline, here were the options. Asked you, would they finish fourth or better? Would they finish fifth, sixth, or maybe dead last in seventh place in the East?
Yep.
40% predicted a fifth-place finish.
Mm-hmm.
Right behind them with 38% of the vote, six.
Mm-hmm.
15% were really optimistic and said fourth place or better. And the really, really negative, the negative Nancys, the legions of the miserable, mm-hmm. as Johnny Majors called them,
yeah.
predicted a dead last finish. Well, the media has spoken. The almighty media, the gatekeepers, the fourth estate,
yep.
the big J's, they spoke today, including our own Lucas Panzeca.
Mm-hmm.
Was at media days, made that great appearance. He did get to cast a ballot. Tennessee predicted, drum roll, to finish sixth.
Yeah.
Second to last.
Kind of figured that's where they would be.
Behind who? Vanderbilt and?
In front of Vanderbilt.
In
front of Vandy and who?
I'm about to pull up the order here. Vandy dead last. Vandy dead last to seventh place, as most people would predict. I don't think anybody really had Vanderbilt getting above a predicted sixth place finish in the East. So running through this list here, this was all SEC teams. That's my mistake. But as we all thought, Georgia, of course, predicted to finish in first place in the East. Ran away with it.
Tennessee did get that one first place vote.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing, isn't it?
I want to know who that was.
One person out
Might
there.
Might have been Lucas.
No, Lucas wouldn't do that. Lucas told us himself that he was going to pick Georgia number one. Or maybe his bias came through at the last moment.
He just couldn't contain himself.
I saw Missouri and Vanderbilt didn't get a first place vote. I think those were the Only two.
Yep.
Yeah,
Kentucky got one.
We'll get
really?
Yeah, we'll get to the Missouri thing here in a second. But here we go. Georgia, 271 first place votes in the East.
Dang.
Right behind them with a whopping 8 votes for first place. Predicted to finish second, the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
Mm-mm.
And here's where the middle of the pack, where people thought you may have some varying opinions. So the media today, for third place, predicted the Florida Gators. First-year coach Dan Mullen. 4 first-place votes for the Gators. In fourth in the East, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers with that explosive offense, which may be ran to the ground by Derek Dooley. Will tell.
Hopefully so.
Missouri predicted to finish fourth, but they have no first-place votes to win the East. Very weird, right behind them is Kentucky in fifth, who also received a first-place vote.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Tennessee at 6, Vandy at number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Any problems with this order? Because if you had to ask me what I thought the media was going to do, I would think that would be the exact order. The biggest argument I could see people make is if you would want to flip-flop either Mizzou or Kentucky, or if you're really optimistic about Tennessee and pessimistic about Kentucky, flip Kentucky and Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would say would be my only the only hang-up. Maybe put Tennessee at 5 and Kentucky at 6. I just don't see us losing to them at home this year, especially with Coach Pruitt. I mean, if Butch was still here, yeah, they'd probably beat us in Neyland. Missouri, that's still a toss-up to me. Even though Derek Dooley is there, they still have Drew Locke, and he's got a cannon. He can
and
do
a good core receivers.
Good core receiver. I mean,
and a couple good players along that defensive
they
line,
showed
too.
Out
don't forget
the last
about Terry
six
Beckner.
Games. The last 6 games of the regular season
playing,
last year.
Playing some trash, though.
To
be fair.
I mean, they did. They did. Other than that, yeah, South Carolina at 2 makes sense. Florida at 3rd, I guess, is fine just because the other 4, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt, are just equally bad. So I guess that's fair. Maybe move Missouri up to 3 if Dooley doesn't run them into the ground. But other than that, yeah, I can agree with this list.
Moving over to the West media predictions, another shocker, Alabama predicted to win the West. 263 votes.
Okay.
A little more competitive for the second place spot because you had Auburn, again, not a shocker, predicted to finish second. 19 first place votes. In third, now here's where, you know, some people may have some arguments to make about the middle of the pack in the West. Third place, with 2 first place votes, actually, Mississippi State.
Hmm.
First-year coach Joe Moorhead, really
a lot of confidence over there in Starkville.
I can kind of understand why. Yes, you do have a bit of an unknown quantity, a head coach in Moorhead. He has not been a head coach since he coached Fordham. That's FCS.
Yeah.
But had a great, great tenure as offensive coordinator at Penn State. You have that dark horse Heisman candidate in Nick Fitzgerald at quarterback. You have tons of talent on your defense. Jeffrey Simmons on that defensive line, and you know others, just to name a few there. They have bodies. I could see them finishing third. If they come out of nowhere and really shock some people, their ceiling could be second place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could agree with that.
I wouldn't be shocked if they finished right behind Alabama, but let's keep going down because number 4 here, Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair.
I do too.
Yeah.
5th, LSU. Fair. And then the last 2, to nobody's surprise, Ole Miss and then Arkansas. Arkansas went because of the division they play in. When it's all said and done, they may end up being worse than Vanderbilt this year just because of who they have to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty bad out there in Fayetteville.
Yeah, the West list, I wouldn't really move any of them. I think this one is spot on.
I can see arguments for making Texas A&M the third place team in front of Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I can see arguments for putting Ole Miss ahead of LSU, especially for the people who think Coach O isn't going to make it an entire season.
That's true.
If it's getting that bad down in Baton Rouge, I wouldn't think they'd finish above Ole Miss. Ole Miss does have some talent, even though they don't have a postseason appearance to play for. Mm-hmm. I think that just means Matt Luke and them, they are going to go all out in the regular season.
Yeah.
LSU's going to have to ball out in the beginning of the season if Coach O wants to remain an LSU Tiger.
I just don't know if they can. They still,
I don't either.
They still, it's been the same story for years. They still don't really know who their quarterback is. And even if they do, they never live up to the hype. That's always been their catalyst.
Do we have, I mean, going back to the East too, either of you have anything that sticks out to you about the order of finish in either division? Any thoughts you'd like to give on it before I move forward?
You know, I could see Mississippi State coming in behind Alabama. I mean, as we know, in the SEC, you win games in the trenches. And I would say that Mississippi State probably has the best defensive line in the conference. Maybe Alabama, maybe just because, you know, they are Alabama and they have all these top-rated recruits coached by Nick Saban. But, I mean, you look at Mississippi State's defensive line, they should all be up for, what is it, the Outland? Is that the Defensive Lineman of the Year trophy? The Outland, is that what it is?
Yes.
They should all be up for that. Then if Nick Fitzgerald can come back from that injury and keep balling out like he has been, I don't really see – I mean, unless Moorhead's system just screws everything up, that could be it. But as they sit right now saying that his system, they don't skip a beat, they all learn the system fairly well, and the defensive line does as well as everybody thinks they should, I mean, I could see them beating Auburn and end up second, giving Alabama a run even.
I don't know how much of a run they would be able to give Alabama because that game is going to be playing Tuscaloosa this coming season. Came oh so close last year to upsetting them in Starkville.
Mm-hmm.
Man, how great of an upset that would have been.
Yeah.
Couldn't hold on at the end, though.
I mean, other than Auburn, that's probably Alabama's toughest game this year, wouldn't you say?
Where do they play A&M at? Is that in College Station this year?
Because
I've been thinking it's a foregone conclusion that Alabama's just going to be A&M every single year since Manziel's left.
Hey, don't sleep on Jimbo. Jimbo's capable of some things.
It's still a season.
It's in Tuscaloosa.
Okay, yeah.
All right,
win.
So maybe.
Win.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to who the media predicted to win the entire SEC. Again, no shocker, Alabama.
Yeah.
193 votes. Second place was Georgia with a nice 69 votes.
Hmm.
And then Auburn was third place, the only other team to receive double-digit votes at 14. South Carolina had 4 votes. Florida had 2 votes. Mississippi State and Missouri with a vote apiece. That's another weird thing about Missouri. So they get no votes to win the East, but yet they are predicted to finish fourth above 2 teams who each received a first-place vote in Kentucky and Tennessee. And they also have a first-place vote to win the SEC. Without winning their own division.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
I don't know how that makes sense. Somebody must have messed something up. They would have had to, right? Because I would think the person who predicted Mizzou to win the conference should have been predicting them to win the East. Because that's actually impossible to do.
Yeah, you would think.
It's really stupid. Oh, well, the votes are wrapped up. Alabama's still dominating everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Georgia's right behind them. Life is nothing but pain and misery.
Yep.
Tennessee has to play both of those teams this year.
It's going to be Georgia-Alabama for the next 3 or 4 years. I hate it.
Can't wait. Do something, Auburn. Do something, Auburn.
We'll be we'll be able to compete with Georgia and
I'll
Bama
take
in a couple
three,
of years. Give Pruitt and staff a couple of years. We'll be all right.
Man, I'll take 3.
Get our recruits developed. Get everything going. We'll be able to hang with Georgia.
But in the meantime, hell, I'll take 3 more years of Auburn, Georgia. Save me from Alabama, Georgia, please. At least I have a team to actually root for in the case of Auburn, Georgia.
I'm telling you, man, don't – I mean, I know they're already picked to finish second in the East, but, I mean, South Carolina – Georgia goes up to Columbia this year. And, like, the second –
That's going
to
be
week 2.
Week
2.
Game.
That's week 2, 3:30.
I could see Georgia brain farting in South Carolina coming out of that with a win.
South Carolina could steal that, and then the rest of the East.
You know, Georgia hears Sandstorm. They're like, oh, crap.
You hear the rooster? You hear Sir Big Spur?
Yeah.
I think
give a cock-a-doodle-doo? Does that scare you?
I wouldn't be shocked if South Carolina ends up in Atlanta, honestly.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something, but.
Hey, if it makes Georgia fans upset, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Just switch it up a little bit. I hate all this stuff, all the same games we see every single year.
South Carolina would get thraxed by Alabama.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I don't care.
I mean,
I don't care. If Georgia can come into this season with all the momentum they've had from last season and the recruiting momentum, they come into this year just a play away from winning a national title with all these expectations, and they can't even win their own division, that would be fantastic.
I would love it.
That would produce enough tears to sustain a country that does not have good water system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Produce enough liquid to sustain them.
By that David Pollock alone.
That'd be fantastic. 865-546-8200 if you want to hop on the McKinney Team Hotline. By Keller Williams. We are going to hit this first break. Be back on the other side. Take your phone calls. You're listening to Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back here on Overtime, coming into The Offspring. Man, do I love this song.
Mm-hmm.
Love me some Self-Esteem. Love me some Offspring. I want to tell you about who we love here at Fox Sports Knoxville. It's the McKinney Team with Keller Williams. They have a simple philosophy. Clients come first. As they are helping you find the home of your dreams or sell your current home, they pledge to be in constant communication and keep you informed through the entire process. Put simply, you come first. Go to Facebook and like Travis and Emily McKinney's page. You can visit ZillowKnoxville.com to learn more about them. Give them a call at 865-548-8267 for more information. They're proud sponsors of the McKinney Team Hotline. Let's go over to the McKinney Team Hotline now. Take a call from our friend Roger. Roger, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing fine, but how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great, man.
Cool. Tanner, I want to ask you about the. It's kind of funny a little about it, Tanner. About Kentucky, Tennessee, the SC meetings, Kentucky ahead of Tennessee. You know, it's kind of funny to me that they picked Tennessee over Kentucky over Tennessee this year. You know what the reason for that, Tanner, is?
Roger, the reason for that is that Kentucky, it took Mark Stoops a long time to get a decent season together up there in Lexington. They gave him a lot of time. They finally got something like that together last year. Another bowl appearance. You beat Tennessee. That's going to do you a lot of favors up there. He's always got a competitive squad up there, but now I think they're seeing some steps towards consistency up there. They have one of the best running backs in the conference, Benny Snell, coming back, Roger. They have a lot of questions at who their quarterback is going to be and a lot of questions at other positions too. But put simply, I don't think a lot of people expect too much out of them. I doubt anyone's expecting them to do better than 8-4 in the regular season. But it's just because they have had consistency at the coaching staff, and they have a really talented player on their offense that helps them gain some favor and places them above a team that has a bunch of unknowns in Tennessee.
Right.
But the gap isn't that big, though. The gap isn't that big, though, Roger. I still think Tennessee can take care of Kentucky at home.
Yeah, it should. I mean, the talent level is not – it's better than that.
You there, Raj?
I can hear it.
I can kind of hear him.
No,
there he is. Roger, you cut out on us for a second, buddy.
We can hear you, man.
We got you.
Okay. I mean, last year, the benefit, but the talent level was better than record was last year. So you think Tennessee talent level was a lot better than that?
Yeah, Roger. Thanks for a phone call, buddy. You were still having some connection issues there, but heard your question about the talent level. Yeah, you were asking about Tennessee's record last year. Yeah, they had a much better talent level than the 4-8. There's no question about that. They were, even with the problems that they had on offense, with the problems with they had giving up so many big games, either with multiple games that you gave up terrible amounts of rushing yardage, multiple games where you got shredded by opposing quarterbacks, they were still arguably two plays away from finishing 6-6, going to a bowl game. You go back to the Florida game, you don't mess up the end of that one. That's a 7-5 roster you had there. At the very worst, Roger, that was a 7-5 talented type of team that Tennessee had last year. And with some of that talent still coming back, you did lose key pieces. We know you lost John Kelly. You lost Rashawn Golden. You lost Khalil McKenzie, even though his contributions, kind of questionable.
Yeah.
You lost some key starters on the offensive line. You understand that. But you still have enough talent to go to a bowl game this year, and I do think the coaching staff is going to get a lot more out of the team this year.
Yeah, I think really the only reason Kentucky is ahead of us is because they have Benny Snell.
That might be the sole reason.
I think that's the sole purpose.
They also have, on defense, I know they have a star linebacker, Courtney Love, who I still can't shake that they have a linebacker named Courtney Love.
Mm-hmm.
I think about Kurt Cobain's wife.
Yeah, which is the actual lady. It's
really strange. Really strange stuff there. They've got talent. Kentucky has talent, but...
I mean, without Benny Snell, they'd probably...
They don't really have that much without Benny Snell.
Like I said, the gap's not that big.
Yeah.
We'd definitely be ahead of them if they didn't have Benny. I mean, because other than Harris from Alabama, I'd say he's probably the second best in the league.
I think he is your second best in the league. DeAndre Swift down at Georgia.
Oh,
He might show out some this year, but until further notice, I think he's number two behind Harris. 865-546-8200. Keep the phone calls rolling. Take a call from Westchester. Westchester, what you got for us?
How we doing, gentlemen?
We're just living the dream, man.
Speaking of living the dream, dude, were you even swimming 1994 when Offspring's self-esteem came out?
Man, that was actually a year before I was born, but hey, I'm an old soul. I'm an old soul. Old soul.
Right, so you weren't even conceived of that yet.
I don't think so. I doubt it.
Okay. Just making sure. I got to call you out on that a little bit, but back to the point of my phone call, I didn't just call to call you out on that. I was talking to some buddy of mine today, and we were looking at the schedule, and my favorite watering hole had their Eagle Distributing and stopped by and put the 2018 schedule up, and it was the big color one, and Tennessee looked so much better after a beer or 10, and, you know, I was looking at it, and we're going to win a lot of games, and a buddy of mine I was talking to, and he kind of just crushed my dreams, and I'm going to kind of crush yours a little bit, too. I think anybody that thinks that we're going to win 8 games this year is sort of certifiably insane. And I think anybody that thinks that we're going to win 7 is not far away. I think that this is a past year. I think that we have a good coaching staff that has never coached together. I think we've got a good bunch of good players that have never been properly coached. I think this year is kind of a wash. I mean, if we win 4 games – And we show signs, I think everything's okay. I mean, my expectations for Pruitt and his staff this year are next to nothing. And I think that's what's reasonable because, you know, we probably have an all-star coaching staff, and we're probably going to be okay in the long run. But we can't expect anything out of these guys that just got together a few months ago and started figuring out how they wanted to run a team. I mean, you know, we have some leftover talent from the quote-unquote Blitz Jones top 5 recruiting class, but it doesn't mean they're going to fit in this system. It doesn't mean that they're the players that we necessarily need. I really, really want to pump the brakes on this season and say that 4, 5, 6 wins is okay. It just depends what we do the next couple years. I just can't come up with any reason why we win. I can't come up with any legitimate non-orange-colored glasses reason to give us more than 5 wins this year.
I mean, I've always been the boat of if it's a 6-6 regular season, I'm going to be joyous I wouldn't find a reason to complain if this staff can get what's left of this roster together, get to a bowl game. So, I mean, if it comes down to another losing season, I don't think people should be up in arms about that. That would be completely unfair of them to do so.
I think 6 is too high of a standard.
What do you think is more, a more appropriate win total?
I'm at like 4.25, 4.5. I think that there's, you know, the non-conference games are, besides West Virginia, are wins, and I think you the problem comes with how the schedule shapes out. I mean, it's going to be really hard for these guys. Best case scenario, they open the season 3-0 going into Florida. Let's assume we lose to Florida. I know we shouldn't assume that, but let's be honest, we might, and then we lose like 4 or 5 in a row. How do you get your team back up to win the winnable games for the rest of the season? That's what's going to be really tough for a first-year staff and a bunch of players that haven't bought into the coaches yet. I think the schedule was aligned a little differently than 6, 7, 8 is reasonable, but your winnable games are at the end of the year, and like I said, I just don't know how these guys buy into it.
I mean, to be honest, I don't care if we go 4-8, 5-7, 6-6, 2-10, as long as we beat Florida and Vanderbilt, I'm cool with that this season. It's
that's because you're young. It shouldn't be Florida and Vanderbilt. It should be Kentucky and Vanderbilt every year. We should be able to roll out our third string and be Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
And I 100% agree with you. But if we can beat Florida and Vanderbilt, I'm okay with that. It's Jeremy Pruitt and Staff's first season in Tennessee. I would be okay with beating Florida.
So you're okay with a Kentucky loss?
Oh, I mean, I would.
You just said that.
Brayman, do you want to lose to Kentucky?
I don't want to lose. And those words never came out of my mouth. I don't want to lose to anybody. But if we can beat Florida and Vanderbilt, I'm cool.
Okay. So you would take a Florida win over even if it meant losing to Kentucky, right?
Would you not?
Hell no. Because the end of the year is if you can't beat Kentucky, your season doesn't matter.
But it's Florida.
That's because you're young and you don't understand Tennessee's main rival is still Alabama. I get that. Y'all just need to talk to Russell and Bear and get some of these old-timers that can tell you how Tennessee's rivalries work. It's not Florida, because Florida wasn't anything before 1990. No one gives a darn about Florida. All right? Kentucky sucks. Vanderbilt sucks. We got to beat them both every year. You win 2 games in the conference, it darn sure better be Kentucky and Vanderbilt every year, period. We should beat Missouri this year because we're at home and God knows they're terrible. But like I said, they're so late in the schedule that I don't know if we can mentally salvage this team to get back together to win November. Because honestly, there's not a loss on the schedule in November, except for the fact that we're playing them after we just lost 5 games in a row. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, it's definitely rough. Thanks for the phone call, Westchester, up against it here. Oh! And as Russell Smith brings in the Popping Hot Jets pizza for Cole and Daniel Brackman.
Yeah.
I thought Brackman was going to just jump through the ceiling here when he saw those pizza boxes.
Russell Smith is Kobe in the fourth with Jets pizza. I'm telling you.
Coming in clutch, man. That's what he's doing.
Now we could ask Russell about Tennessee's true rival.
When he gets back in here over the break, I'll let you ask him. We'll let him talk to us about that because I know Russell, I mean, he went to UT in the 90s. He went to UT in the 90s.
Golden
and
ages.
That Florida rivalry was flaming hot.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. I mean, there's no denying that Alabama still.
That's what I was saying. Like, I was never saying that.
1B at the worst. But it's just about picking the right battles because, yes, you hate Alabama. Yes, you want to be Alabama. Yes, that is historic in every aspect. You're the two best programs in the history of the conference. You ain't looking at beating them for another few years. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. I don't see it happening. You could take care of Florida this year. Mm-hmm. It definitely could happen. 865-546-8200. Hop on the McKinney Team Hotline here as the rest of the crew goes and gets this Jets pizza. Be back on the other side. You're listening to Overtime. Were you about to ask who the bumper is?
What?
Are you about to ask who this was?
To be honest, yeah.
It's Foster the People. The same Pumped Up Kicks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same band.
It's kind of a messed up song if you actually read the lyrics.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. This is their new song.
I didn't even know they were still relevant.
I didn't know they were either until I heard this. I'm like, okay, this is a jam. I have to put it in the bumpers. Okay, Brightman has to leave at 7. So we did this last Friday, too. Switching things around a little bit. I know we do birthdays at 7:30. We are going to do that at the end of this hour. So we're moving forward one segment. What we usually do at the end of hour number one, which is our Mount Rushmore segment. Today, I think this might be the most hotly debated topic we have ever had.
It'll give me a chance to update.
There may be a lot of varying opinions.
Check the Twitter poll I sent out for you gross, too.
We'll get to that later. So here we go. We are going to do our Mount Rushmore of cereals. Starting mine off with the healthy stuff. Honey Nut Cheerios. Man, do I love Honey Nut Cheerios.
I thought Honey Nut Cheerios weren't healthy. You had to get like the regular ones. Like the non-honey ones.
I think they're still healthier than like your typical sugary cereal, though.
All right.
Can help lower your cholesterol, just like the regular. Yes, regular is healthier, but I don't
like
the
cardboard.
Regular ones. Yeah, give me some flavor. Give me that honey. Love some Honey Nut Cheerios. One of my favorite cereals of all time. You can't beat it. Next up. My bar none favorite when I was a kid, and I still like to have some every now and then when I do eat cereal, it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Oh, the cinnamon, the sugar, the crunchiness, it is so good. It's probably one of the most unhealthiest cereals for you, but man, did that wake me up when I was a kid. There's nothing that's going to give you a sugar high in a cereal better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Next up. Lucky Charms. For the marshmallows. The actual cereal part, yeah. Whatever. Just regular oats. But man, the marshmallows. Oh, I loved eating the marshmallows. I love the commercials. The little leprechaun. Why are you laughing?
Just at your description of the cereal.
Well, I mean, it's true. Who cares about the actual
making
oat
me
part?
Chuckle a little.
Man, I love Lucky Charms. Finally, this is kind of tough because I did have some things I was putting in here in its place. I have to go with Silly Rabbit. Tricks are for kids. I love Tricks. There's a lot of like the fruity like themed like cereals out there. You got your Fruit Loops. There's others on that are escaping me right now. I like the Tricks. So colorful, just like Lucky Charms. Had really memorable commercials. Came on Nickelodeon Cartoon Network all the time. It was a tough choice. I had to go with the simplicity of the colorful Tricks.
You ever had the Tricks yogurt?
I have. I love Tricks yogurt.
I'm going to start my Mount Rushmore, excuse me, with Cap'n Crunch Crunch Berries. Cole said he didn't know what those were before we got on air.
I've never been the biggest Cap'n Crunch fan.
Never had Crunch Berries?
I mean, I have. I just, when I heard it, it just didn't ring a bell because I don't know. It's not the first one I'd pick.
Second, I have Frosted Flakes because they're great.
One of the goats.
Did you get it? They're great.
Oh, good one.
Thirdly, I have Reese's Puffs. Mm-hmm. And rounding my Mount Rushmore off with Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
Fruit Loops are gas.
Yeah. I was really excited when I found out we were doing cereals because I'm a huge cereal fan. I could eat it for every meal. So first for me, the GOAT, at least for me, Golden Grahams.
Very underrated.
Oh, I love Golden Grahams.
I do like Golden Grahams.
I have no idea what those are.
Oh, man. Really? You're missing out. You are missing out.
What is it like? What does it taste like?
It's very honey.
Yeah, it's like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but except with honey, except cinnamon. Yeah.
So it's honey, cinnamon toast crunch?
In a way.
Without cinnamon.
Ah.
Yeah. So really good. That's definitely number one for me. Number two, Fruity Pebbles. Always been a huge Fruity Pebble guy.
Not Fruit Loops.
I mean, they're just a little easier to eat. Fruit Loops, I mean, with the milk, they're still kind of just a little too hard. Mm-hmm. Fruity Pebbles, you can just kind of Just kind of squish them. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Okay.
Okay, Chico.
Fruity Pebbles, number two. Number three, Apple Jacks. The cinnamon, the apple.
Oh, absolutely.
The number four.
Oh, I love Apple Jacks.
Number four, I didn't want to cook. I didn't want to put Cocoa Pebbles, because I already put Fruity Pebbles. So I put Cocoa Krispies. Kind of the same thing, but different.
Crackle, pop.
That's right. Cocoa Krispies.
Oh, I love both the Cocoa and the regular Rice Krispies. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I enjoyed them both.
Yeah. Cocoa Krispies, the milk, is chocolate milk afterwards.
No.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Brings me.
So this gets to the, give us your poll results.
Okay, we got us, me, Tanner, Hang and on, Cole, gotten a
let me vote.
Little bit of a debate before the show if you drink the milk after you eat your cereal. I said no because it's disgusting. These two knuckleheads said yes. So I went to Twitter, put it on a poll, and
you're not going to like those results.
I'm looking at it right now. 63% of the people say yes. 37% say no.
It's now 70 because I just voted.
You guys are gross.
Oh, it's delicious. Especially especially the chocolate flavored.
I will admit there's some cereals after eating them, you don't want to drink the milk.
Because the milk gets like warm and like you're putting the spoon in your mouth and then putting it back in the milk and it's just ugh.
But like if you eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch, if mm-hmm. you eat any of the chocolate cereals, it becomes really sweet mm-hmm. and really good. And you drink it quick. It's not like you're drinking an entire
Brandon Oryk says I'm wasteful for throwing out the milk.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
It's warm milk.
That's the other thing. You know how much a gallon of milk cost you?
Are you going to drink a beer cold?
$2.19.
No, or I'm sorry. Are you going to drink a beer warm?
I don't even drink beer.
You're not going to drink milk warm either. But you guys do.
How long does it take to finish a bowl of cereal?
But the milk isn't.
I don't know.
It takes me.
Man, when I was a kid, I used to throw on SportsCenter. You know, it'd take me like 10 minutes.
You're acting like you're throwing in the microwave. It's not going to get that hot. Like I said, you're not drinking an entire glass of milk. It's just a little bit left. You can just chug it down really quickly.
It takes me 3 minutes tops.
You get your calcium. You get your vitamin D. It builds your strong bones.
It does.
It keeps you from getting osteoporosis.
I mean, I'm so pumped and I'm eating my favorite cereal that I just run through it.
I bet you guys had those like bowls with the straw built into it.
I used to when I was little. I did.
I did not. I don't. I have to see what you're talking about.
It's like a plastic bowl, and they have like a plastic straw built into it that like so you can like drink the milk out of the straw.
I never had one of these.
Oh yeah, I did.
I did the old fashioned. I just turned the bowl up and
I had like ten. Like I had a lot of them.
You probably still have some, Cole.
My mom probably does. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have to call her.
It counts. It counts as Cole still having some. Great topic. 865-546-8200. Get into another game when we come back. Okay, we did not mess it up this time.
We did not.
Brackman is going to be the host of birthdays. It's me against Cole. We're doing birthdays early. All of that and more on the other side.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
July 20th, it's time for birthdays. Daniel Brackman, take it away.
Before we start, I just got to give a quick birthday shout-out to one of my best friends. 22nd birthday is tomorrow. Happy birthday, Jack.
Shout-out to Jack. Happy birthday, Jack. Wish I could be there.
Okay, let's get this going.
Is it a good
going.
One? How many do we have?
We got enough. I forgot how many, but we got plenty. It's a good day. It's a good day.
All right, let's go. Let's see if I can stop Cole's three-game winning streak. I've not played birthdays in probably, I don't know, when's the last time I have played birthdays? It's been a while.
It hasn't been since I started. It's been a minute. Yeah. So. It's
been a couple months. All right, let's get started.
He is 22 years old today. Australian basketball player.
Ben Simmons.
Wow, yeah.
Okay, wow. Yeah, not rusty at all.
Who the hell else is there? Dante Exum? That's about it.
I even forgot.
Off the top of my head, that's that young. I mean, I know there's Deli and Patty Mills.
Yeah.
But they're older.
I forgot Simmons was from Australia.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. Another basketball player. Former. He is retired. He is 43 years old today. He started his career with the Sonics, I believe.
Ray Allen.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. Not even let me get these clues. All right, Cole.
That was a clue.
Yeah, I know. Okay. He would have been 58 He has since passed.
Okay.
He was on all these commercials as seen
Billy
on...
Billy Mays.
Well, this is just not fun.
Cole, you had no chance.
This is not fun at all.
You wanted to
do it. Yeah, you weren't lying when you said you were good.
You wanted to do it.
Okay.
Hey, but I will say Billy Mays is like an idol of mine. Man, did I love just the random OxyClean commercials.
Yeah, they were fun. They were fun.
OxyClean is what it was. Yeah. He was, I forgot the. I forgot what the
all the other random
main
crap.
Product he sold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He is 40 years old today. Retired NHL player from Russia. He was most known for his stint with the Detroit Red Wings. He played center.
Oh man.
Do you want me to give you his jersey number?
Sure. It might help.
He was number 13.
You might have finally stumped me. I think you have.
Should I just start saying it?
Let's do it.
Pavel
Dusik?
Doc Soup.
Doc
yeah, close
Doc,
enough.
Doc
close
Soup.
Enough.
Doc Soup. Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Tanner takes a commanding 4-0 lead.
How many do we have?
7.
I've won.
So yeah, Tanner won. Tanner has won. Cole
can still save
his
pride.
Save some pride here, buddy.
I doubt it.
This man would have been 60. See if I can do math real quick. He would have been 67 today. Tomorrow. This is tomorrow's.
These are Saturdays, okay.
Yes, he would have been 67 tomorrow. He was an American actor. He was most noted for films such as Aladdin.
Robin Williams.
Okay, yeah. I didn't even get to say Good Morning Vietnam and all the other ones, but yeah, it is Robin Williams.
I'm sorry. 5-0.
5-0. You weren't kidding when you said you were...
Yeah. Think about how Lucas felt.
Yeah.
Lucas was a worthy challenger, though.
We...
Not to say Cole isn't, I'm just saying.
No, I've had no clue.
Me and Lucas are like on another level.
He is 29 years old today.
Or tomorrow.
So yeah, tomorrow. Okay. Sorry. Throwing me off. First time. He will be 29 years old tomorrow. NBA basketball player. Plays center. Plays for the LA Clippers.
Oh, DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Cole. You got to get one, dude.
I don't want to sweep you, Cole. I feel bad.
Well, it's looking that way.
I feel bad, man. I'm sorry.
All right, last one. He would have been 93 today. American TV actor. He has since passed. He was probably most known for his character on a old TV show.
Andy Griffith.
That was the TV show. But
Don Knotts.
Yes.
Okay.
And Tanner won 7-0. That was...
I hate this game.
Okay, I've watched the Andy Griffith show like every episode at my grandparents' house. That's my papaw's favorite show. It used to come on WVLT like every day before the news.
Mm-hmm.
I know Don Knotts. And from the Scooby-Doo, that old Scooby-Doo episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don Knotts had a celebrity appearance. I'm sorry, Cole.
That was a spanking.
Yeah.
He bent you over.
I didn't give Cole a chance. Besides the Pavel Datsyuk, and you had to like start saying his name. And then, like, I remembered. I'm sorry.
I mean,
you're not allowed to play anymore.
That's why I took the initiative to do it.
Well, when you said you were good, I was like, maybe he's just quick thinking, but like...
No, I'm really good. I know a lot of random things, and I'm really good at, like, remembering, like, details about notable people. I'm sorry.
Just got a reply to my poll.
Oh. Is it somebody...
It's from Grit. I don't know.
Ooh, Grit Knox?
Grit Knox.
Oh, yeah, Grit Knox.
Yeah, we know Grit Knox.
Anyone
of the station.
Who answers no is a terrorist.
Yeah, Daniel.
Yikes.
Thank you. Thank you, Grit.
Daniel Brackman, known terrorist.
No, I'm not.
Known sympathizer of ISIS, Daniel Brackman.
I'm going to have the NSA and the FBI showing up.
You're welcome. You wanted me to retweet that poll in the official account, and the people have spoken. 79% say they do drink milk.
I cannot believe this.
Cereal. 100 plus votes now.
It was like at 22, like 5 minutes ago, and it's at 105.
Brandon was so sure.
I was so sure that people were going to be like, no, I don't drink the milk.
Everybody does.
I think a big reason, too, like Brainwork said, it's not being wasteful with the milk, I guess, which does make sense. If you're paying for your own milk, it costs a lot.
Yeah.
It does cost a lot.
There is another birthday today.
Who?
VFL and now football coach, Terry Fair.
Oh, happy birthday, Coach Fair.
Yep.
Also did see on Facebook, it would have been Chris Cornell's like 50-something birthday. Soundgarden, obviously, frontman, committed suicide last year.
Hmm.
I don't know if y'all ever heard.
No.
Damian Marley's birthday is tomorrow.
Who's that?
Damian Marley?
Son of Bob Marley.
Come on, Cole.
Do you know who Bob Marley is, Cole?
Bob Marley. Okay. I don't know his kids.
Oh, he's never heard of, is he that weed guy?
Big weed guy, right?
Big on the ganja.
Mm-hmm.
Big on it.
Did you know that at Bob Marley's grave, there's like a weed shop? Like, you like take a tour, like, it's a huge grave.
I'm stunned. I'm personally stunned there is such a thing around his grave.
That is sarcasm.
Personally, utterly stunned. Got about a minute here for the end of hour number one before Brightman has to leave. Good stuff, though. Good stuff. What's something we can get into really quick? How about this? Fox Sports 1 developing a gambling show featuring Clay Travis and Brett Musburger.
Really?
That would be fantastic.
That sounds extremely intriguing. New voice of the Raiders, of my Raiders, Brent Musburger, with Clay Travis. Would you watch that show for gambling advice?
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
I would most certainly tune in for the pilot episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then probably forget to tune in ever again.
Yeah. I like to tune into the first episodes of something new. After that, unless it becomes a huge hit, I won't.
That's just how it goes for any show over there on FS1, because... Mm-hmm. I don't watch Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. I don't watch Undisputed. What's that show Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock have?
The Herd.
The Herd with Colin Cowherd.
No, they have.
Oh.
Jason Whitlock. Yeah. I know what The Herd is, Brightman.
I forgot what it's called.
He said it.
Oh, Brightman and Cole.
Yeah, I forgot what theirs is called. No, I don't watch that one either.
Oh, Speak for Yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Speak for Yourself. Yeah, I'll watch the first episode. Interesting stuff, though. With the new gambling laws, Supreme Court, it's going to be ingrained into the culture.
Yeah.
It's coming. 865-546-8200. Hour number two on the other side, Daniel Brackman. We will see you next week.
I'll miss you guys, but I'll see you Tuesday.
Have a good one. Back on the other side.